You're listening to SBS News.
The National Group for Migrants and Refugees with Disabilities says the federal budget has raised concerns about the impact of potential cuts to the NDIS. The federal budget papers outline a plan to generate $14.4 billion in savings if draft legislation introduced in March to reform funding plans for NDIS recipients passes Parliament. Overall, the government is seeking to find $27.9 billion in savings over 4 years. The federal government has yet to formally respond to the NDIS review final report handed down in October. I spoke with the acting CEO of the National Ethnic Disability Alliance, Neha Prakash, for her assessment of the federal budget.
To the NDIS, the government has clawed back some savings, saying that $27.9 billion over 4 years will be accrued in savings as a result of getting the NDIS back on track. When it comes to your membership and how they're reacting, is there a consistency there between what you've been understanding from your conversations with government, what they've been saying to you, and what was actually delivered in the federal budget?
So with the NDIS back on track, I know there's a lot of measures that they've introduced around combating fraud, but there's not a lot more information around how things are going to be different. And that's where the transparency conversation comes in. I think we would like more information about the rollout and what that means, where the cuts are going to be included and where not, because that's what's creating some of the confusion within the communities. And because there's not a lot of information around, again, foundational support that's been introduced here that haven't discussed much, we would have liked to see more information on that aspect.
And when you say there's confusion, what is the feeling amongst the membership about what's going on? Is there anxiety as well?
Yeah, there's some anxiety around budget, you know, plan cuts and things like that. And of course, and I think that has to be addressed appropriately.
You welcome the abuse hotline investment, and that's a help. But there are a whole bunch of other things mentioned in the Royal Commission recommendations that you believe haven't been addressed. Can we go through some of those?
There's nothing like earmarked in these conversations in terms of saying we're promising X amount of money for these things. So a significant response to some of the recommendations hasn't happened. I'm hoping maybe they'll have when a government response comes in. We'll hear more about that, but because it's not mentioned in this budget, it feels a bit grimace.
As you just said there was nothing earmarked in this budget specifically for recommendations from the Royal Commission. Just how urgent is it that we get some timeline or some clarity on when these recommendations might be implemented?
The sooner the better. There is a big urgency in this because we've spent, like, the whole disability community, the sector, everyone spent about 4.5 years providing evidence and doing all of this. So would be good to get a response in terms of really what those tangible outcomes can look like and what the time frames are. There is definitely an urgency because everyone's invested a lot of time and energy on this. And we would like to see a response soon with something more tangible.
You said you do welcome the Commonwealth rent assistance. I believe it's a 10% increase. Last budget they did a 15% increase. But you have also concerns more broadly what's being done about the housing crisis and how it's responding to the needs of people with disability. Can you tell us more?
With this income support, DSP recipients have definitely missed out, and that would have probably helped ease the cost of living for people with disability a bit more. There is a tiny increase in rent assistance, would have liked a bit more, but still welcome it. Within housing, people with disability should have been prioritized in some of the reforms and some of the changes that are being made to housing, especially for those transitioning from group homes. Now, within these reforms, there isn't necessarily an applied, like, disability as well as a culturally and linguistically diverse lens, an intersectional lens, and we would have liked to see more of that one in the changes that were introduced.
When we think about that, are there frameworks and pieces in place that would help the government and help us see some of the measures that should have been in place in the budget, or really we don't really have, from a policymaking perspective, a good understanding of what's required here?
So recently, I think by last year, there was some inquiry around this, and some of the DROs and DPOAs put together some submissions and made very specific recommendations around how right to housing can be interpreted more broadly to ensure that it meets the rights of people with disability. and where it upholds the right to accessible and appropriate housing. So there's a lot of recommendations that's been provided, meeting like minimum standards around accessibility, having inclusive housing options, providing choice and control over accommodation, what sort of preventative, like how do you address homelessness and housing crisis. So there's a lot of recommendations provided by different disability representative organizations.
One of the other big ticket items mentioned in the federal budget was the emergency payments for those fleeing domestic violence, family violence. What's your take on whether there's been inclusion here of people with disability and particularly migrants and refugees with disability here?
In all of these conversations, we would like genuine leadership by culturally and linguistically diverse people with disability in all of how these changes are being rolled out. What we would like to see is a bit more of an intersectional lens when some of these measures are introduced and implemented. Should be consideration around intersectionality, especially around eligibility criteria, around residency requirement, because some of these things are usually tied to like a residency. So we don't have that information right now, but that should be considered so that no one is left behind and everybody gets that essential support that's required.
There were also calls for a disability legal service. That wasn't fulfilled in the federal budget. What are your thoughts on whether you'd support that, whether there's a need for that?
There's definitely a need for legal support. Access to justice is so important, and even just ensuring that people have a right to access to justice as well as just understanding rights is a very important element of this. Anyone being able to identify and recognize what violence looks like and what real mechanisms are available for them to address this.
Sounds like, Neha, that we have a lot of areas that are massive need for improvement required. What do you see as the next opportunity for these issues to be addressed? Is there a next immediate mechanism, a next opportunity where you'll be pressing these issues most strongly, but also where you'll be expecting the government to step up?
Our urge would be to have the government work with the disability sector, people with disability, in unpacking what all of these new changes are going to look like and work with and have genuine partnership with people with disability from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds in these conversations.